Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
It's been a few weeks since we've spoken to our esteemed book reviewer, Cara Martin, All Stand. But she's back in the hot seat with another great review. This time it's a novel. The book is called Burial Rites by Hannah Kent, a debut novel for the writer. Cara, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Great to see you. Sounds interesting and a bit of a departure, highlighting a novel in our segment.
I have to mention this one because this writer is just doing great guns, and she's been on Australian Story, and I think it's a really exceptional novel for a first-time writer. And she produced it actually as her PhD. So it's one of those really annoying things where you have a young person who writes brilliantly with depth of research. But anyway.
How old is she?
26. Yeah.
So good.
Just get over the jealousy.
I'm impressed, yes. So it's based around a lady convicted of murder waiting for her execution. Give us some context.
That's right. It's the last execution in Iceland, actually set in the 1900s. And the convicted murderess is Agnes Magnusdottir. And she is sent to wait out the time for her execution at the farm of a district officer. So that's John and his wife Margaret and their two daughters. They are forced to really take her in. They don't really want to take her in, and there is some compensation for looking after her. It's a weird thing to think of taking in a murderer before their execution.
Yes, but, indeed.
And Margaret especially is very nervous about this for the safety of her daughters. But Agnes's presence ends up actually being a really positive presence in the family. She's a hard worker, she's literate, she's intelligent, she's not what they expect us at all. And as well as that, she is a healer. She has some remedies to ease the hours of Margaret and also with a neighbour's birth. And so the whole experience ends up being not what they expected at all.
Who gets the most attention in this story, the family she's living with or Agnes herself?
This is the very interesting thing because I think the novel was going down one track, and then the author, Hannah, actually had a bit of an opportunity to consult with her mentor, who is Geraldine Brooks, the wonderful Australian writer who writes also historical fiction, this sort of material. And Geraldine said, look, what you really need to do is not just focus on Agnes, but actually explore that relationship with the family. And this is where the novel just gets, you know, a sudden new depth and a beauty to it because it's the relationship with the women and also with John and Agnes where there's just this beautiful, I guess, in a harsh climate and at a hard time, you get this melting of hearts and spirits, and it's just beautiful.
You should write a book of reviews because I love the way you put these things. Tell us about one character, the priest, who's sent to prepare Agnes for her death.
This is the thing that really interests me because Iceland is actually a very Christian nation, and it was common practice. And I guess we've got Dead Man Walking. We've got sort of places where we know there are priests and there's ministers who actually deal with people who are on death row. And this is a similar sort of situation. So this young assistant priest, Agnes actually asked for him because she's met him before. Usually it would be an experienced priest who's sent to deal with someone who's a convicted murderer. But she asked for this assistant priest, and he at first begins to try and do his work in the way that he's been told to do it, which is to get her to memorize bits of the Bible and her specific prayers, and he encourages her to make a confession. But in the end, he just realizes this is not going to work with her. She's been so hurt by her life. She's had so many conflicts. The church has not been a safe or a good place for her. And so in the end, he decides that the best recourse is, as he calls it, the gentle and inquiring tones of a friend, providing her with a final audience to her life's lonely narrative.
Wow.
Which is just an amazing thing. So he listens to her story and draws her story out. And it's a beautiful, I guess, way of connecting with someone's spirit in a way that for her is much more, gives her much more of an opportunity to feel like a person again, a real person.
When you talk of connecting, of course, we don't have executions in Australia anymore. So how do we bridge that gap?
Yeah, well, this book is number 2 on the bestseller list. There was a bidding war for the rights of it. She earned a new record for it, and it's been repaid. This book is selling unbelievably around the world.
Isn't that great?
So the story is connecting with people, and I think because it's fundamentally a story about a woman who feels wronged, and a woman who is portrayed in a certain way, and then you actually peel back the layers and see a real person underneath. So it's really a book in lots of ways about redemption, and it's the power of the love of this family, this community, to eventually transform her as she tells her story.
So what have you taken out from it?
Well, I think the other thing that really struck me about this, and it's an interesting contrast with some of the historical fiction books that have been very popular in Australia, Iceland does have this Christian heritage, which Australia also has in many ways. In this book, it's written about very openly. There is this priest who is in this ongoing conversation. That's the main part of the story. The people who are involved in this story pray, and that's just a natural part of how they live their lives. Their faith is interwoven with everything they do, and that comes out in this story, and we're reading it as popular fiction. But I'm interested that often in Australian historical fiction, the church tends to be the bad guy in the story, and often the faith of people is nominal, and the Christians in stories are often stereotypically awkward or painful or harsh.
Yes.
And yeah, so to find a book where we have these very real live people who are living their faith and trying to work out what it means in this particular difficult situation where someone is condemned to death and facing, you know, what that means, is it's beautiful to see how that's worked out. And actually the last part of the book is the Icelandic burial hymn, which is all about trusting in Christ, who's going to bear you through the strife of what you're going through.
What a powerful book. The novel is Burial Rites by Hannah Kent. Kara's a big fan. Kara, thank you so much. As always, good on you.
See you
next time.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.